Well, it is a pleasure to be with you, and many of you we've seen through the years, whether it's from camp, and I had a number of good close friends in college that were from this church. In fact, Pastor Mike's brother Andy was best man in our wedding, and so we enjoy the Shanks family, and of course the Hausers being relatives distantly, and see each other most of the time at the cabin, but it's a pleasure to be with you. And like was shared, all our evangelistic ministry is Rippling Brooks Ministries, and so we're going to share a little bit about that. I have a little video here with that, and we also help out with the ministry of Penwood Bible Camp, where my father's the director, and so we'll share some things about that. To start off with, I just want to share with you a video.
Rippling Brooks Ministries and the Brooks family desire to proclaim Christ and to train others to boldly follow Christ's example. So the good news of Jesus Christ has a rippling effect to Northeast United States, the continental U.S., North America, and around the world. Eric surrendered to the call to preach the Word of God and was pastor of Colesville Baptist Church in Western New York for 12 years. In 2015, the family moved to Ulysses, Pennsylvania to assist in camp work as well as to be on the road in evangelistic ministry. Since then, he has had the opportunity to preach the Word of God in different settings and in many different churches. His family also is involved in the ministry with him and provides special music in the services, whether it's vocal or even various instruments. Theater pieces and monologues to help get the gospel message across. The Lord has blessed them with a travel trailer they can pull into church parking lots while they minister in the church. And this spring, the Lord provided for them to even upgrade their travel trailer, taking care of every penny. The Brooks family is available for special meetings like a Pressing On Crusade, a set of meetings geared to encourage believers in their walk with the Lord and challenge them to seek things which matter for eternity. They're also involved in Vacation Bible School Ministry, putting together the entire program from Bible lessons to puppets and skits, singing and crafts, snacks and games. While at a church for the week, they enjoy connecting with community with events like street hockey and other games, ways to build bridges to share the gospel and invite children out to church. This year's theme is Amazing Expedition Tours. Catch a ride and enjoy some of the sights and events in the Bible. Eric also enjoys sharing the Word of God in retreats and men's events. Shauna is also a very gifted ladies speaker and enjoys sharing with the ladies. They especially have a burden for small churches, and for that reason put together Christmas programs, mainly to encourage small churches who would not otherwise be able to have a special Christmas program. These programs consist of drama, lots of music, and preaching from the Word of God. Bible Camp. They serve in many different ways at camp. whatever the church or ministry, the whole family enjoys connecting with others and making new friends.
Here's a little preview of some of the things that we do. As you'd be in prayer for us, our first VBS starts in 4 weeks from tonight. And so we have a whole lineup of VBS, and then we run right through camp and back to VBS, and so we're looking for a good summer. You can find some more out about us there on our website, ripplingbrooks.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. There's a sign-up sheet on the foyer and the table there for our ministry, as well as there's a sign-up online to get connected with us and things that are going on. Also online, there are some inspirational backgrounds. I enjoy photography and some different things, and so we like to have God's Word always around us, and you're welcome to go on there. There's an inspirational backgrounds page, and to be able to use some of those pictures that are there. Maybe it's for your a screen on your computer, or even a digital picture frame. You're more than welcome to use those and PowerPoints and so forth as well. Also, back there on the table, we have some little inspirational message cards, and these are little cards, almost the size of a business card. I have a picture and a verse, as well as on the back it has a special little message. There are two there that are more of a salvation thing. You can leave with a tip at a restaurant or so forth. There's also two that have just encouraging for Christians. Maybe you're writing a note to somebody and you just want to throw in a little bit of extra encouragement, and you can throw one of those in the envelope there, and you're welcome to use those. Just an easy way to share the gospel message and encourage others with that as well. There's a verse that we have on a lot of our information, and that's Acts 1:8. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world." You know, we like the idea of rippling brooks and have that ripple effect. We start close and they work out. We want the gospel message to go throughout the world. This time, my family's going to come and we're going to share with you a musical number titled "His Name Among the Nations." And we're all to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And actually, that's the theme of this year's camp theme. We usually have a theme each summer for our camp program, and it's entitled Proclaim, Let the Gospel Be Heard Around the World. And so we help out with the ministry of Penwood Bible Camp, and we live, our home is about 550 yards from door to door, so we live fairly close there and can help out with a lot of things that go on there. But the camp's not totally full-time for us, and so we're also on the road and enjoy just being out in churches and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But theme is Proclaim this year. And I just want to share with you some of the little activities and stuff that we have at camp through the summer. We have Nine Square in the Air, and I see you have some of it over here as well, as well as a Gaga Ball Pit, and just a bunch of different games there that the children enjoy playing, and whether it's relays and stuff in the front yard there at camp, or other group games. You can see some of those pictures. Also has some things like archery. And, of course, the water down at the lake is pretty attractive to a lot of people, and they enjoy those jet ski rides and tubing and kneeboarding, water skiing, and also swimming down there, and the slide. There's beach volleyball down there, as along with the big tent, and each week we normally have at least one picnic down there under the big tent. But most of all, we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and throughout the day, we have our morning devotions. They have some personal devotions, and they also have, we have two chapel sessions each day, and then we, of course, have some cabin devotions then at the close of the day. There's some more information back there on the back table about that, and our summer theme there. There's some brochures that you can feel free to pick those up and encourage some young people to go to camp this summer. Now, see the weeks there coming up in July, July 10th through the 15th, Junior Week, and Senior Week is July 17th to the 21st. Now, Penwood Bible Camp was actually founded in 1945, just a few years ago, and it was founded for the purpose of seeing souls come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, building up Christians in the knowledge of the Word, and equipping them to serve the Lord, and that's what our desire is to do. And we also have a bunch of other activities throughout the year. We have a camp day. It's kind of opened up to anybody. It's kind of our family day. And we start off with a chapel session, kind of go over some things, the highlights of our summer. And then we also go down to the lake and have a picnic underneath the tent and enjoy some water activities down there. We also have a men's retreat, and I know you folks come out and enjoy the facilities out there at Penwood Bible Camp, but we also have a men's retreat that we do in the fall, and they enjoy a bunch of different activities, even the climbing wall and a bunch of shooting and so forth. Have to get that in, right? Have a ladies' craft day, and that's been going for a couple of years now, and the ladies enjoy just making a bunch of different crafts, make at least four different crafts on that day, and also have some time then in the Word of God. Then, of course, snow, winter. That's what many of you think of Penwood Bible Camp as winter. We offer a couple snowmobile retreats throughout the winter, Lord providing the snow that we need for that. We were only able to have one of them this past year because of that. Enjoy being out on the trail with a bunch of other believers. Camp is strategically located right next to a trail, so you can go miles and miles and miles and miles on the snowmobile, dropping the trailer right there at the camp and going from there. We also have some great views you get out there on the trail. We have a teen winter blast specifically for teens and youth. We have a ladies' retreat as well. Last weekend was our ladies' retreat, and we had a bunch of ladies in for that, and had a great speaker there, Bobby Donaldson, a missionary to Peru. Her husband was one that was shot down there in Peru a number of years ago. She was the speaker. You know, camp ministry is an important ministry, though. It's said that statistics share between the 65 to 85% of Christians make decisions for Christ at camp. 65 to 85% of Christians make decisions that cramp. And did you know that statistics also show that two out of every three believers are saved before the age of 18 years old? So that's even more important that we be ministering to our youth, don't you think? Two out of every three are saved before the age of 18. You see, camp is an important ministry, and I'm glad that you folks see that as well. And we're glad to be able to use the facilities that God has given us there for His glory, being out in the great outdoors, but also to be focusing in there on the Word of God. Now, this year's camp theme might be proclaim, but do you realize that it's the message that we are all to proclaim? We're all to proclaim it. We are all instructed to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, we are commanded to, aren't we? There in the verse that was already on the screen in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he said unto them, Jesus is talking, he says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. We also see it similarly shared there in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. We know these things as the Great Commission, right? You might be thinking, well, it's just for pastors and missionaries and evangelists, isn't it, that we share our faith? Well, the answer is no. We're all to. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you should be proclaiming the good news. You know, God uses people just like you to share the good news. He uses all kinds of people to do His work. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, young or old, have physical problems, or just plain don't think you are worthy. God can use you. In the Bible, we can see many different people and the reasons why one would think that God couldn't use them, but guess what? God did. Think of Moses. He couldn't talk very well, could he? David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy perhaps had ulcers. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Jesus too poor. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. Also was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Thomas doubted. Jeremiah was depressed. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was lazy. Well, not really. She was sitting at Jesus' feet, wasn't she? That's priorities. Samson had long hair. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? And so did a few other people. Peter, lots of folks did. The woman at the well had five husbands, was on another man. Naaman's the servant girl. Well, she was just a servant. We don't even know her name, and yet God used her. Elisha was bald. Gideon doubted God would use him. Many of the disciples were just fishermen. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Perhaps he had bad eyesight. We don't know. But he must not have had good looks either. You can look that up in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Yet God still used all these people. Wow. Did God like some of the things that they were doing, like those who were involved in sin? No, but God can forgive and use their lives for Him. Let's look at two individuals that God did use. The first one I just briefly want to share, Judges in chapter 6 and verse number 14, we see about Gideon. He was somebody that, well, he didn't think God could use him, but God did. And Judges chapter 6 and verse number 14, we'll pick up there. It says, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man.
Now, Gideon thought that he couldn't be used of God. He was poor. He didn't have authority. Perhaps he was even the youngest one in the family. Can't be used, but God says, it's you. I'm going to use you to go against the Midianites. And guess what? God did. Pretty amazing things. Second individual I want to consider is that woman at the well. I'm sure you remember her story. She was a Samaritan woman, a half-breed, was despised. And besides that, she was a widow, a woman. She was a woman. And yet Jesus met her there at the well and shared with her the living water. He told her of himself and how she could have eternal life. Now, this woman had five husbands, and the man that she was living with wasn't even her husband. And yet this woman came to Christ, and then what'd she do? She proclaimed Christ. She shared the good news with many. There in John chapter 4, picking up in verse number 28, says that the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they all went out of the city and came unto him. Down in verse number 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. We see many came to Christ because of one woman talking about him. Now, sometimes we think, oh, we can't bring too many to Christ. But you know what? Sometimes just one individual can bring a lot of others. I think of Mr. Kimball there. He had brought D.L. Moody to Christ, and D.L. Moody brought thousands. We can share just one person. Here, this one woman brought many to Christ. She was so excited about her newfound faith and salvation that she forgot her water pot, and she went, didn't she, straight back to the town to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we sing sometimes a song, I love to tell the story, but do we? Do we love to tell the story of Jesus Christ? This woman certainly couldn't keep it quiet. She wanted to share. And because of her witness, many came to Christ. You know, it's interesting to note to here in this passage earlier that we see the disciples, they went into this town to get some food for themselves, didn't they? They didn't do any evangelizing. The woman took their place. She went and told. This woman had a love for God and wanted to share that love with others. Now, do we really love the Lord as we ought? Now, if we truly love the Lord, we'll do his commands, won't we? Well, that's what we see in John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't this a command that we're supposed to share? The good news of Jesus Christ? So if we really love God, then what are we going to do? We're going to proclaim him. We're going to share him to others around us, aren't we? And do you have a desire to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ? You know, God can use you. We all can share. Even if it's inviting someone to church, or giving them a gospel track, telling them of your salvation story, maybe even paying for them to go to camp. We all can be used to share the message. You know, in John chapter 4 here, Jesus shared that now is the time to share the gospel. It's now. In John chapter 4 and verse number 35, it says this, say ye not then, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, ready to harvest. You know, there are many who are already ready and they need to hear. They need to hear the gospel message. Aren't we commanded to be witnesses? Telling of the good news of Jesus Christ? Telling of his death, his burial, and then his resurrection? Tell them how Christ died on the cross for their sin. He took their punishment. Do as that widow, that woman there at the well. Share Christ. Will you tell others? You know, we don't have to go to a foreign field to be a missionary and to tell others about Christ. We can do it right where we are. Did you know that we live in one of the greatest mission fields in the world? It is said that the United States of America is now the third largest mission field in the entire world. The third largest. You know, some might say, well, I would just want to go to be a missionary to unreached people groups. What did you know? The U.S. is home to more than 361 unreached people groups. They've immigrated to the United States. And there are pockets of immigrants all over the place. You go especially into cities and you have, you know, Chinatown and this and that. You have all these different pockets of immigrants. The U.S. has third of the unreached people groups in the world. India has 941 unreached people groups, followed by China with 386, and then the United States then at 361 unreached people groups. We then have Brazil and then Canada with 180 unreached people groups. Canada is not that far away either. There are many people that need to hear the gospel message. But if you're just talking about those who are in spiritual need in the United States, there are 230 plus million who need the good news of Jesus Christ. 230 million people. Wow. That's a lot of people, don't you think? We need to be sharing the good news. What are you going to do about it? Are you just going to ignore it and do your own thing? Well, my family has a little skit that it's kind of like what people are doing today. Sharing, well, they're not doing it. What are you going to do about those 230 plus million people in the United States who need to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ?
Wake up, wake up, the fields are ripe and ready for harvest. Wake up! The fields are ripe and ready for harvest.
Go away. Be quiet. It's too early. Go back to bed.
Wake up! Wake up! The fields are ripe and ready for harvest.
What? No, you must be mistaken. It is 4 months until the harvest time.
No, no. Look at the fields. They're ready for harvest. They're ripe.
So they are. How about that? Well, I don't care for a harvest that comes too early. I'm going back to bed.
Wake up! Wake up! The fields are ripe and ready for harvest.
It's too much work. I'm sleepy. Try that one over there.
Wake up! Wake up! The fields are ripe and ready for harvest.
Oh, no, not again. Please go away. You know I can't help you.
But look at the fields. They're ready to harvest. We need to harvest them.
I know, and you want me to help. But I'm really not very good at harvesting. You should get someone else. I'm going back to bed.
Wake up! Wake up! The fields are ripe. They're ready for harvest.
I'm having a bad hair day.
No, the fields are ripe. They're ready. We need to harvest them now.
I don't have the right clothes to wear.
You look fine.
I might break a nail.
What?
Look, I told you I can't do whatever it is you want me to do. Try that person over there. I'm going back to bed.
Wake up, wake up. The fields are ripe and ready to harvest.
It's too cold.
No, it's not. It's warm.
Then it's raining.
No, it's not raining. It's sunny.
Well, I'm not going out there.
Why not?
Because there's a fierce lion out there.
Really? Where?
In the middle of town.
No, there isn't.
Well, there could be, so I'm not going out there. I'm going back to sleep.
Open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe and ready to harvest.
Isn't that like a lot of Christians? They don't care about the harvest, huh? Jesus said that the harvest is ready. We all need to be laborers in the harvest, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But we'd rather just sleep, do our own thing. I don't care. We're commanded to do it, aren't we? We better be doing it. The sad truth is that statistics show that 2% of Christians, just 2% of Christians, share their faith on a regular basis. That means 98% aren't doing a very good job. Read an interesting question this past week that kind of made me stop and consider this problem of believers not sharing their faith. It was this question: which of these is more difficult to get to? More difficult to get people outside the church interested in Jesus, or to get people inside the church interested in those outside to share with them Jesus? That's interesting. Which is more difficult? To get those people outside the church more interested in Jesus, or to get people inside the church interested in those outside about Jesus? A lot of people are just sitting with their hands on their backsides and not doing anything. We have a job to do. We're to be laborers in the harvest. Jesus said that the harvest is ready. A lot of Christians just think that they're saved. And they just sit back and don't care. They don't care that other people are going to hell. They need to get up from their sleeping and wake up to do the work. You know, sharing Christ isn't just for missionaries, pastors, evangelists, and Christian camp workers. We're all commanded to do it. Howard E. Butt Jr., a millionaire grocer, said this: God doesn't issue a special call to pastors and leave everyone else uncalled. Every Christian should think of himself as having a divine call for making Christian witnessing a full-time career. We all should be doing it. You know, the harvest is not something that's only mentioned here in a spiritual sense in John chapter 4, but we also see that Christ spoke of it in other passages of Scripture, like in Matthew chapter 9 in verses 37 to 38, and similarly in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 2. There in Matthew 9 and verse number 37, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but," what's the next phrase? "The laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The laborers are few. You know, Christ is the one that's speaking here. And what is he saying? You get this picture? You need to be about a business. Harvesting souls. Here we also have a command. What's that command? We see it here. "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Pray. You know, when we gather together a lot of times in prayer meeting and so forth and have prayer requests, a lot of those requests happen to be for Great Aunt Tilly's big toe, right? Well, there are some other physical needs, but most of it has to do with physical needs. Not spiritual needs. When was the last time that you prayed specifically for laborers into the harvest field? It's a command of Christ. Not only do we need to pray about it, we need to be laborers, don't we? We're all to go and share the news of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is not the only one Scripture references the harvest of souls. We see other references, like in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, about sowing and reaping, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there in verses 6 to 9, about the Apostle Paul. The harvest, though, is great, and we need to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, don't we? Go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel message. Share it. Back then in John chapter 4, we can see that Jesus referenced to sowing and reaping in verse number 36 and 37. It says, And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, and that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You're there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verses 6 to 9, the Apostle Paul shared that there were two main jobs there in the field, and he stated that he planted and Apollos watered. There's jobs to do. We all need to be doing it. Sharing that gospel message and watering that seed. Then God that gives the increase, as we see. It's not just one individual that does the work. There are many who serve the Lord, who help in the process of sowing and cultivating and watering. One commentator has stated this, there is no competition in the Lord's harvest. Each of us has an assigned task, and we are all a part of each other's laborers. One sows, one reaps, but each worker gets his honest reward for the work that he has done. You see, we all can rejoice together, whether we sow or whether we reap. We can all rejoice. There, the end of verse number 36 says, both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Besides, we're going to get rewards for our service to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his reward according to his own labor. And many times we think, well, I'm doing some sowing, I'm sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. Whether it's sharing about him, sharing my testimony, giving a gospel tract, doing these different things, even the way we live and our actions and our speech to others can really show who you are. I'll never forget, I was in Lockport, New York a few years ago, and we were taking some people on one of the cruises through the locks, and we were there talking with different ones, and another couple came up and said, you're a pastor, aren't you? Yeah. How'd you know? You know, people can tell that there's something different about you. That should be something that's showing forth too, the gospel, isn't it? Sometimes we think, oh, we share the gospel and there's no results. William Fay has stated, non-believers must hear the gospel message an average of 7.6 times before they receive it. 7.6 times before they receive it, on an average. Some of them a lot more, some of them less. Some a lot more. But if anyone walks away, you can remember that God's word is not going to return void. Isaiah 55:11. Maybe we're just watering that seed. You know, don't you want to hear from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Because you have followed his command. As you followed his command there in sowing the gospel seed, we're all to be actively sowing that seed. As in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, working in his harvest field is something that he desires of us to be doing, and we should be delighting in his will, shouldn't we? In Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 8, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Delight to do it. Now, sometimes we're like, oh, I don't know whether I can. He can help us. How many times in Scripture do we see, lo, I am with you always. I'm with you. You can do it. You can share that gospel message. You know, the fields are white, ready to harvest. Will you labor for him, proclaiming to others? You know, he uses people just like you. We can do it. You know, if we don't, there's problems. What does the Bible say? In James chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. Whoa. We're commanded to do something, aren't we? We're commanded to share Jesus Christ, and if we don't do it, we're sinning. Wow. We need to be telling others. Someone has said that the gospel in the first century was shared by a good system. It was called the teleperson system. You know, we have televisions and, you know, all these other kind of things, telephones. But that woman at the well, what'd she do? She told the gospel message. Many came. Many of the Samaritans believed on him for the saying of that woman, as we see in John chapter 4 and verse 39. We need to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and even inviting them out to church. You know, a survey from the Institute of American Church Growth showed that 75 to 90% of new believers come to Christ through a friend or acquaintance who explains the good news to them on a one-to-one basis. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Will you labor for the Lord, proclaiming him to others? I trust that you will. See the importance. Forget who it was that was sharing the story, why he was so passionate about the Word of God shared. And he says, don't you see what I see? He was looking out a window with many people walking back and forth, and he says, I see sinners going to hell. Wow. There are people headed to hell. What are we going to do about it? 230 plus million people in the United States. And I'm sure that there's not a million people here in Towanda, but there are certainly quite a few that need to hear the gospel message. Will you tell them? Will you be a laborer in God's harvest field? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these moments together. We've had to open your word and even see some commands of Scripture. Command that we are to be sharing about the good news and what good news it is. That you've bought us back from the slave market of sin, that we've been able to be redeemed through your precious blood. Lord, help us to be bold in our witness to share that news with others. Lord, help us to be co-laborers with you in your harvest. Now, some water, some sow, some cultivate that seed, but it's you that give the increase. Lord, we ask it, be your will, that we might see many here in Towanda and the greater area come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and be added to your church. Lord, we desire also that you would send forth laborers into your harvest field. Lord, I ask that each one of the believers here this evening would see their need to share the gospel and do it. In Jesus' name, amen.